Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As we mature in the faith, we come to realize more and more that it's not about us. It's about God, whose glory fills the heavens. When we see our lives as part of a much larger plan, we understand that enhancing God's glory is the bottom line. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. We focus first on God's glory in our worship.
Why should I live and not die? That's a question a woman asked me right up here after a morning service as she came to shake my hand. It's an excellent question. Now, she was going through a time of depression, but actually it's a question that all of us should ask. Why live and not die? Well, we're going to find an answer to that question. And we're going to find an answer to that question by showing you how you can have a life of fulfillment and meaning and at the same time bring glory and honor to God. Let me tell you how this sermon series came about. I was in a group of perhaps five or six people. We were meeting to discuss the topic of renewal or revival in America. And one of the members of the group, who has a very close walk with God and a good grasp of the scriptures, began to talk about the glory of God. And what he was saying wasn't exactly new, but it was so powerful, so overwhelming, that we began to sing together and then we began to pray. I leaned back in my chair and I just looked up to heaven and these words came out. Oh God, at last I get it. Nothing matters except your glory. If you wonder how sermon series come about, well, there it is. Nothing else matters. A couple of days later, I woke up in the morning, and I sometimes do my best thinking before I roll out of bed. I thought to myself, that would be a great sermon series, and I immediately sketched out 8 messages on the topic of the glory of God, and nothing else matters. Now, I can imagine that there's someone here. Maybe you're a teenager. And by the way, when I was a teenager, I used to take notes when I would hear the pastor preach because I had this strange idea that someday maybe I would preach and I'd need something to say. But if you're here today and you're a teenager, you think to yourself, well, the glory of God, this is a philosophical, theological discussion that has nothing to do with school. It has nothing to do with whom I marry. It has nothing to do with the pressure that I have at home. It has everything to do with it. Let me tell you 3 results that I am trusting God for as a result of these messages. First of all, I want this to be an idol smasher. These messages are going to smash idols. They're going to be everywhere, and they're going to be toppled. And these idols in our lives, I remember a woman saying, the reason I got remarried soon after I was divorced is because my identity as a woman was wrapped up in having a man on my arm. We're going to put an end to that kind of nonsense. We're going to put an end to the idea that you have to earn a lot of money in order to get status. All of these idols are going to be laid at the feet of Christ, and once for all, we will be finished with them. We will smash these idols. Something else, and thank you for those amens. I'll take anything when I'm up here, all right? Especially an amen. Let me say also that we're going to do away with anxiety. Aren't you tired of it? Thinking of the same thoughts over and over again until your mind has certain pathways where it always goes. We're going to be done with that. This is going to be a stress-reducing series of messages. And finally, and most importantly, for many of you, it is going to introduce you to the companionship of God, which is what it's all about, the companionship of God. A few words regarding the word glory. In the Old Testament, the word occurs a couple of hundred times, and there are about a dozen Hebrew words, all of which are translated glory. However, the one that is used most often is kavod. And kavod means heaviness, weightiness. And therefore, the word glory can be applied not just to God, but also to a temple. The scripture says the temple had glory. Men can have glory. Women can have glory. But when the word is applied to God, one theologian says it means he possesses weight, gravity, honor, fame, dignity, splendor, preeminence. That's what we're talking about when we speak of the glory of God, because there is no one else like him. And just to think, we get to know him and walk with him. Now, the word glory has to be understood in two senses when it's applied to God. First of all, it is clear that God intrinsically has glory. He would have glory whether he decided to create something or not, because God is inherently glorious. And he has glory the likes of which you and I have never seen, and we cannot see until after we die. God has inherent glory. But it's also true that God sometimes reveals his glory. This is God reflecting his glory. It is reflected in what we see. For example, Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And so we sometimes think of the whole universe as being a statement regarding God's infinite glory. Isn't it wonderful that scientists believe that the universe is infinite and God is infinite? No wonder with all of those billions of stars it declares his glory. But there's also such a thing as the glory of God being experienced by human beings. And when the glory of God is experienced by us, we generally think of it as the presence of God. Now, before we move any further, I need to do a little bit of theological work, and then we're going to see how this plays out, and we're going to end here today with our lives changed. When we speak of the presence of God, we have to understand it in two senses. On the one hand, God is present everywhere. In fact, the psalmist said, "If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there." God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That is, present everywhere. But we're talking about something else now when we talk about the presence of God. We are speaking about what theologians often call his manifest presence. His manifest presence means that God is among his people and they know it and they connect with him. It is when you say to yourself, surely God is in that place, and you know that God is connecting and the glory of God is among his people. This is the revealed, experienced glory of God. So much by way of definition. Now I'd like us to see revelations of his glory. And I'm going to ask you to turn to a few passages of scripture in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus, and we'll begin at chapter 24, a couple of other references, then we'll put it all together for you, and I promise you it'll all come out well in the end. Now, Exodus chapter 24, just so that we get a glimpse of what we mean when we're talking about the manifest presence of God. It says in verse 15, "Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses in the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered into the cloud and went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I want to say it Wow. 40 days and 40 nights. And I have to tell you, Moses still didn't have enough of God's glory. You get to a few chapters later, as we shall see, he's still asking, show me your glory. He couldn't get enough of God. It is impossible for us to understand what this must have meant. And then Moses, who couldn't enter into the land, you remember, he ends up finally getting into the land at the Mount of Transfiguration and getting more glory. Moses with God, 40 days and 40 nights. Now, let me look at another passage. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 29, because this helps us understand what the glory of God and the presence of God meant among the people of the time. Chapter 29 of Exodus, verse 43. The preceding verse says, I will meet with you to speak with you there. Verse 43, I will meet with the people of Israel, and it, that is the sanctuary and the altar, shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. Notice, oh, this is so beautiful. You came to church for many reasons today. May it be said that you came for this. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Wow. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can think of nothing that so arouses our enthusiasm and joy as the fact that God dwells with his people. Notice in the text that I just read, it isn't a matter of God visiting his people, but actually dwelling with his people. I think that that would be a wonderful definition of revival, is when people begin to recognize that the God who dwells with us desires our worship, our adoration, our commitment, and our loyalty. And I hope today that you recognize that God is with you, and you can have your own personal revival if you remember the fact that you must be open to his presence through confession and yieldedness and faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I really do believe that they can be life-changing. Nothing else matters. That's the title of the series. Born in my heart, when the Lord showed me that at the end of the day, with all of our concerns, nothing else matters except his glory and his honor. Thanks also for your financial support and your prayers. Together we are making a difference. And I hope that next time Running to Win is on, that you'll be there to listen, to learn, and to connect with us. God bless you. Have a good day.
Erwin Lutzer has begun God's Glory in Our Worship, the first message in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more on God's glory as our lifetime focus. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.